Welcome back to the Clear Voice podcast, the podcast that talks to accomplished women about how they've found their voices and are using them for change. With me, your host, Florence Bavananden. This week, I spoke to Mother Hustler, aka Alice Matthews, who is a South London mum of two, juggling life as a working woman and as a mother. I think there's a lot of people feeling that pain. She writes her tales of motherhood over on Mother Hustler UK on Instagram, where she talks about the realities of being a woman who is not afraid to take up space and the reality of work and parenting, particularly in a pandemic. We discussed speaking authentically online, breaking down barriers and battling expectations by speaking out, taking up space and the challenges that that brings, and how it's not always easy to take that first step or even feel like you're entitled to that space. And finally, saying the right thing and being the good girl, because quite often as women, we're treading this line of trying to do the right thing constantly and being afraid of doing the wrong thing. So, let's get into it. Welcome, Alice.
Hello.
How are you? Thank you so much for coming.
It's been a bit manic, as it always is, but especially in a pandemic, right?
Absolutely. And now you are Alice, but you are also Mother Hustler. So tell me a little bit about who you are and what you're up to.
So I founded Mother Hustler in 2017. It was after I just had Dylan. In fact, I actually set up the blog in 2016, but then I got a bit of imposter syndrome. So I completely abandoned it and started again in June 2017. And I remember I posted one photo on Instagram and then just felt like there's so many people in this space, there's no point. So I ended up again not using it for a while. And then one day I had a really awful day. I remember it was really hard. I'd been to work. Dylan was like challenging. He wasn't eating anything. I'd been trying to eat a hot dog and I think it had gone on my face or something. And I actually thought, do you know what? I'm gonna go on Instagram and I'm gonna post this, because this is what a lot of mums need to see. And it finally kind of got some traction, and it was really freeing for me, because after a really long time of trying to be like everyone else on Instagram, which I couldn't keep up with and didn't feel authentic to me, I finally felt like I had like a voice in the space and one that was like true, basically.
That's so interesting you say that, because I think Instagram is such a crowded place, as you say, especially in the kind of mummy sphere. Yeah. And there are those also, as you say, like those two dual narratives, like the truth and then what people put out and people want to see or feel like we should keep up with.
Yeah.
So in terms of getting your voice heard in that space, was being truthful really integral to that for you?
There's a lot of Instagram versus reality stuff happening at the moment. But that kind of gets my goat as well, because nearly none of it is actually reality. There's very few people on the space that are putting themselves out there in a vulnerable like position. And I think that's what bugged me about the whole platform. And that was why I decided to start doing what I was doing, because I know there are so many mums out there that feel exactly as I was feeling. And I felt that they needed to see something that was really true and authentic. And as well, this is a bit of a tangent, but there's an awful lot of stuff about working mums on Instagram. And that was why I joined, actually, is I wanted to get in that space. I wanted to show I could be a girl boss. I wanted to show I could smash it. And as I've gone further and further down the road as a mum, I've realised that one of the most important things as a mum is to be present with your children, especially during the early years of their life. And I think that people seeing you just doing that is a massive, massive relief, because we're all thinking that we should be doing 20,000 things at once. We know that we can have the year's maternity, but once that year is up, there's a real expectation for you to return to who you were before you had kids. And you're not that person anymore. It's really, really like mind-blowing how much you've changed and how much people want you to rejoin as you were before. I found that really difficult. So my Instagram was a really great opportunity for me to gain a voice while I kind of explored whoever I was now.
And I think it's a really interesting point because identity is so integral to confidence, and confidence is so integral to having your voice and being heard. And if anyone's struggling with that, would you give them any advice on how to kind of find that new identity? Because I don't have children, but I'm presuming it's not something that like, you have the baby and you're like, right, this is me. Now I'm mum and this is what kind of mum I am. So like, how was that process for you?
It's ongoing. That's one of the main things I would say about it. I would say that at this stage where I've had another one now, so I've got two and Joni's 18 months, I finally feel I've got a teeny weeny bit of headspace for me to be a little bit of Alice of who I was before. But I'm kind of learning that the Alice I am now is probably, I mean, very similar. I still have the same me, the same sense of humour, but I'm actually more confident and I'm less apologetic and I'm more willing to say no because I don't have that much time at the moment. And I'm sure that many women in general, let alone mothers, can relate to that. You know, time is a real kind of commodity. And I've realised that I don't have to please other people. So that is probably like one of the biggest things that I would say to people is to, I feel like only this year, after talking about self-care for a really long time, it's only this year that the coin has dropped. I had a really hard year in 2018 and I learned like from a few relationships how important boundaries were. And once I started putting really strong boundaries in with some of my close family, they found that quite difficult because I think I'd always been quite good at bending over backwards to accommodate everyone else's needs. And I don't think that people react that well when women are strong and boundaried, actually. I think initially a lot of people really struggle with that because, hang on a second, you've always done things how I like it. You've always been the Alice that I want you to be that suits my needs. And so you suddenly show up as the Alice that you want to be. It's a big, big thing for a lot of people. And I would say that since like this year, I really get it and I've really been commanding it. I'm just much happier. And finally, like all the things that I've wanted to do with my life, they started falling into place because I'm not spending so much of my time on things that I shouldn't have been investing in the first place, if that makes any sense.
So are those boundaries like, I'm going to spend time with you at X time, or is it more that you can't demand this from me?
So I find with a lot of family, it's kind of like, they would be like, okay, this is what works for me. You can meet me here at this time. And before I became a mum, for the sake of like an easy life, I kind of would do a lot of that. I would just go, okay, if that's what works for them, I'll go to that place at that time. And I tried to continue with all of that after I had Dylan. But with the pressures of work and the pressures of running a house and the pressures of being a mum, I couldn't continue with the pressures of my life before, basically. So now I say quite often, sorry, that doesn't work for me. You will have to meet me here. And if that doesn't work for you, we'll have to find a mutual time that works for both of us. It's always a bit like, oh, there's a real like, I don't know if it's like a generational thing, but like sometimes with my parents, they can be a bit like passive aggressive when I am boundaried. They're like, oh, okay, right. Well, you always did that before. So it's really funny, but like that is one of the relationships that I've had to be boundaried with. And it's not their fault. It's not my fault. It's just that I had to bend over backwards to be their little girl quite a lot. And I don't have the headspace to be a little girl anymore because I need to lead up and be a mother and a woman. So I think for all of us, that has been a massive learning curve and has taken a lot of adapting to.
That's so interesting. I completely agree. And also, I think it's so hard as a woman, because as you say, there's so many expectations on us. And also we place those expectations on ourselves to please everyone, to please parents, to please children, to please friends. And there's so much in society and culture about not doing anything wrong. It's like, yeah, not saying the wrong thing, not doing the wrong thing.
It's the good girl thing, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Not being too sexy, but you should still be desirable. So you're always walking that tightrope of, oh, what should I be? So then saying no becomes really hard. But I love what you say of literally just saying, sorry, that doesn't work for me, but we can do this. And if this doesn't work, we'll do this. And just setting it out and taking that leap, although it might be terrifying, as you say, you gain so much from it.
Yeah.
So you kind of gone through this journey with your voice and finding it. And what was it like before, like when you were younger? Were you always outspoken, or was it more of, again, I completely identify with the trying to be a good girl situation.
Yeah, I mean, I wrote a really good post about being a good girl because that was such a huge part of my life before I became a mother. It was like, you know, go to college, go to university, get a good job, get married to a nice man, have some children, get back to your career, get your figure back, do all the things in line that society tells you to do.
Oh my God, even as you're saying that, I'm like, terrifying.
it's ridiculous, isn't it?
Yeah, like, what is too much.
This model that we've all created is unattainable for everyone. So I think that when I kind of had Dylan, I just knew, like, it's funny, I'm quite spiritual now and I believe in like the universe and all the woo-woo stuff that a lot of people make fun of me for. But I do believe that that was the moment where kind of like the universe was just like, this is your time now. You've always had it in you to do this. And now is the time for you to do it because there's nowhere to hide anymore. So there was a lot of hiding, I would say, that went on before because I had more time on my hands. And now I kind of realize that, it's funny because I have less time than ever, but I'm finally doing the work that I want to do and making money from it. And the only change that has happened is that I've been consistent and I've been brave with it.
Wow. Consistency and courage?
Yeah, courage, definitely. Yeah. I mean, I've fallen flat on my face a lot in the last few years doing this stuff, and I'm sure it will happen again. And actually, like with my Instagram growing and now I'm like retraining to do coaching, I'm taking more and more risks. I'm sure there's going to be plenty of times where it all goes horribly wrong, but I'm finally in a place where I'm kind of okay with that. Whereas fear of failure played a huge part in my life for a really long time. And I would get to a point where I'd almost do stuff. And my parents, for instance, bless them, lovely people, but they would always say to me, is that sensible, Alice? Do you think that you should leave your proper job and go and chase your dreams? Do you think that's a good idea? I don't think either of them really understand what I do now because they don't ask me any questions about it. And I keep telling them, I don't know, I think that they think I'm making it up or something and that I just actually am at home with the kids because they're just like, oh, okay, well, are you being a good mum? Are the kids doing well?
Always comes back to it. Yeah. My husband and I, who you know, Jason.
Yeah.
We were trying to explain TikTok to his parents yesterday. And they were like, is it a place? Is it a place to go? We're like, no, not quite. There are a lot of people there, but no, it's not a place. And it is hard. Like that, there's, I think, especially for that the older generation, making money, A, from your hopes and dreams, B, on a platform that didn't exist and they don't even really understand what it is or how it works.
They don't understand it. That's what it is, isn't it?
Yeah, it's so far removed and it is really, really difficult to kind of bridge that gap.
Yeah.
And so, you know, was there a time when you really didn't have a voice?
I would say I've always been very loud and outspoken. So I don't know about didn't have a voice, but I would say I had a very loud and outspoken voice, which maybe wasn't my own for a long time.
Interesting.
So I used to work in magazines, and I had a very successful career in magazines that many people would have tried to do, and I managed to do. But I never really felt that successful, because I was always a bit like, well, I never got to that point. I only got to this point. And it's stuff like that that I now think is crazy, because you getting in the door is always the most important thing. Once you're in the door, you can kind of do whatever you want, and it may take a really long time, it may take a really short time. But one of the ways that I can describe, like, you know, having a voice which isn't my own and it really haunts me now is working in magazines, and a few times, like, other mums would be leaving early to go and get their kids, and I'd be like, oh, is she leaving early again? I now understand why they were leaving the office early, but it's so hard, because I think the problem was not me. It wasn't the problem me then. It isn't the problem now. The problem is, we're too far removed from families as society. That's what I think. So I think that it shouldn't have been as much of a shock when I had Dylan. Loads of my friends had kids. Some of my cousins had kids. There were children all over the place, and I wasn't really spending that much time with them, because in this country, there are these places that exist for families or children, and then there are these places that exist for adults. So when you take your children to somewhere that exists for adults, such as a pub, people don't really like it, because the patriarchy thinks that's their pub.
Yeah, absolutely.
So they go, you know, oh, there's that child over there making loads of noise. Whereas you go to Spain or France or Germany, I think that although parenthood is obviously a shock, it's probably less of a shock, because there's a real community there. And when you've got children, you go and you sit in the square with everyone else, and your children and your motherhood is celebrated. It's not here. And that is a really big thing for women, because you're kind of expected to shuffle off into a room and do the first 5 years of your child's life on your own, which is not good for anyone.
Mm. And woe betide if you decide to breastfeed in public.
Yes,
definitely. Which always gets me, I always think, one of the things I'm like, when I'm breastfeeding, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to breastfeed everywhere. And I'm sure when I get to it, I'll be like, oh God, I should feel quite uncomfortable about this.
I think once you get over it, you will, honestly, because I remember, like, I nearly actually stopped very early on because I was so anxious. But the beginning of breastfeeding is brutal. So doing it in public is really hard at that stage. But the thing that I said to myself was, I actually remember, like, being at home and I was like, I'm going to go into Croydon today and I'm going to spend all day in Croydon. I'm going to make myself figure out every single place that I can breastfeed. I'm going to find every breastfeeding facility. I'm going to go into every cafe that has an area that I feel comfortable. And I'm just going to find the spot so that just within Croydon for now, because it was only a couple of stops on the tram, I know that I can confidently go there. And then once I crack it in Croydon, I can kind of move on. And I feel like, without realizing it, that was such a brave and big thing for me to do, because once I'd done that and I cracked that, I was quite comfortable to kind of go and breastfeed anywhere. And I think that's the thing, like, it shouldn't, like, I'm quite a brave person. So I think maybe if you're, like, not as confident, it's probably a massive deal to go and get your boobs out in public. Like, people looked at me, like, even now, especially now, in fact, now that Joni is 18 months old and she is literally climbing up me and still getting my boobs out, people look at me with such disdain, but I don't care. I love it, in fact, when people look at me with such disdain, because I'm like, it's your problem. You can't deal with that. It's got nothing to do with me.
Exactly. And a real act of defiance. I love it. And I'm a confident person, and I'm very happy to be, if there's something wrong in a restaurant, I'd be like, oh, I'll complain, obviously nicely, like, oh, and you know, there's this issue, da da da. But when I don't feel confident about going into a space, I really don't. And it took me a little while, and you know, I feel really uncomfortable. And even when I joined a workspace, right? It was quite, you know, there's always in any office, even one that is a hot desking office, there's an abundance of men. And I think as a woman also, we don't feel an entitlement to a new environment in the same way. And similarly, you know, I look at my husband and he strolls into places and just like owns it. And seeing that you know, or even like my brother, whomever, or men, they tend to do it. And then my female friends and my sisters, we're very much more like, oh, I don't feel comfortable. But really taking myself, having a moment objectively and thinking, okay, like, why do I feel like this? And what would it take for me to get in there? And, you know, I've gone into other spaces before and really pushing yourself, you know, as you did with breastfeeding and just kind of working out in your own boundaries and testing yourself in small places and then working out further. Yeah. Then it's like, oh, well, I only don't feel comfortable because I feel like I'm not welcome here, but other people feel like they're welcome here. So I'll just pretend to be one of those people. And then I did, and then it's all good. But I think it is so hard when you don't feel entitled to that space.
Totally. It is really hard. I think, actually, I really started realizing it when I was working on public transport. I really started noticing that was one of the, like, the big moments where I realized how different men and women were. Was I would get on a train, and if it was ever packed, I would feel like I had to really shrink myself down and fit into this tiny space. And then a guy would get on and just put his arm out, and it would basically be on me. But he would just think that was acceptable because, but I'd always think, I don't see any guys doing that to other guys, though.
Yeah.
So it's a subconscious thing of we are property and it's their space. So it's no wonder that we feel the way we do. But I do feel that the tide is turning now, and things like coronavirus, the short term, is going to be really difficult for a lot of women. Long term, women are going to be forced to set up their own businesses because the opportunities aren't there now. So I think that you'll find that there'll be an awful lot of female founders as a result of this. And I'd be quite interested to see like how much more business is coming from women in 5 to 10 years time.
Yeah, something like 75. Oh, I'm going to get this totally wrong. But the upshot of the statistic is that women were much more likely to be furloughed and much more likely to be made redundant immediately. Yeah. You know, and there's so many factors in that. You know, it comes back to what you're saying about, oh, I can't believe she's leaving early. It's a workplace culture, and you don't, until you're a mother, you don't understand it, right?
No.
And it's really difficult.
I found it really difficult to be in an office for the first 5 years of my kids' lives. I've realized like it's really important to me for those years to be there for them as much as possible. So I think it should be much more normal for women to just take a little gap now. Like, we're living a lot longer, so why can't we just take 5 years to just do the most important thing that you're going to do with your life, raise incredible humans, and then go back to work? I don't really understand this whole like gap on your CV, because there is nothing that will make you a better worker than having to like look after children. Once you've done that, you're just, your attitude to like what's a problem and what you can get done, and the amount that you're like, to be honest, your ego is really like kept in check once you look after children. But I think that once you've kind of been through that, like if I went and worked in an office now, for the first time in my life, I would be able to be a CEO confidently. And that is because I've been a mother and I've had to hold so much up since I became a mother that working in an office just feels like nothing. So I feel like it's always kept as like, oh, you're only a mum. But actually, that is your like superpower when you go back to work. It's what makes you an incredible person. And it should be like a welcome attribute within an office.
Office work is a patriarchal system made by men for men. Yeah. And I don't even think that it benefits many men anymore. No. You know, I think so many men, given the opportunity, and if it was socially acceptable, would also take more parental leave. You know, the statutory leave is only 2 weeks. And now at least we do have some parental leave if your companies do it, etc. But it's so difficult. And, you know, it would emancipate so many women and so many men from societal pressures if we just had more flexible working, more understanding. I mean, even the concept of having to be in an office from 9 to 5, which, as you say, hopefully post-corona is going to be a little bit more flexible. But everyone's trying to fit into this system that doesn't serve any of us. And I think also going back to what you were saying about taking up space, the subconscious men taking up space, talking to men about it as well, because I think it's something that as women we kind of do automatically. And then, as you say, you catch yourself, you're like, hey, well, why am I doing this? This is ridiculous. Yeah. And I think also as a man, Oh, I'm really hoping, like, this is my hypothesis, and guys, please, please prove me on this, that it is right, because if it's wrong, then the world is a very sad, sad place. But I think as a man, they're not like, oh, I'm going to take up all this space so the women don't have any space. They're like, oh, this is just my space to take up. This is what I've been born to have. But having conversations about it and being saying, oh, do you realize that you're doing this? I think the majority are going to be like, oh, no, I didn't actually, and I won't do that in the future. And I think we make the mistake of talking to each other about it a lot and not having productive, positive conversations with men that would change things faster.
Yeah, I agree. I was talking to Ross the other day, actually, because he was like, why don't you take the kids to these woods and do this? And I was like, it's interesting. It doesn't even cross your mind that that is a privilege of yours. And he was like, what do you mean? And I was like, I can't take the kids on my own to the woods. I'm a woman.
Yeah, exactly. I don't go near any woods.
I don't go to the woods on my own. I, you know, like with the children, where I'm going to be totally isolated. Like, you might be able to do that. It's not an option for me. And he was just like, it's never really crossed my mind. But yeah, you know, like he goes to our local park sometimes in the morning for a run, and it's like 6 a.m. and it's pitch black dark. I can't do that. It's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. But again, if you hadn't had that conversation, he would never have known. Yeah. And you don't with having these conversations, it's so important to spread the word and really. And I think we think that conversations about this, like the boundaries conversation, have to be confrontational. Like, why do you men not understand that we women have to do this? But it's not. It's like, oh, did you know that I think about this very differently to you? And we can make quite a lot of progress in that way, and having those less, like, more calm, not high octane conversations.
Definitely. I think that men of that generation of our, like, of our husband's generation, are able to have a conversation. I remember Ross saying something like, oh, you know, the tram's really packed at the moment. I've noticed, like, don't people know about coronavirus? And I was like, remember, like, we're very privileged that we have a car. Some people have to use public transport. And he was like, that was such a dumb thing to say. Like, but I have said stuff like that myself before, you know, like you just, that's the thing, like, we need to have these uncomfortable conversations. And we've all spoken a lot this year about, like, discomfort and, you know, people having honest and raw conversations. And I think that it's really important that kind of we all get comfortable getting uncomfortable as such.
Totally. And being corrected as well. Like, Gina Martin and Blair Amani are two people on Instagram who do it really well. They're really happy to be educated. They are educating others. But equally, when someone comes back and is like, no, I remember Blair Amani. So if you don't follow her already, she's brilliant. She's an educator around everything around race. Okay. And actually LGBT rights and everything. She's just great. And she put something out about anti-Semitism and how it shouldn't be. She'd hyphenated it. She then re-uploaded the video and said, look, I've changed it around because when you hyphenate it, it makes Semitism a thing, which is racist in itself. So she took it down, put it back up, and was like, look, I've learned about this. And when you do that, it takes the power out of the kind of cancellation culture and out of the fear of doing something wrong. It's like, I'm going to put it out there.
Definitely.
And if it is out there and it's wrong, then I'll take it back.
I'm going to own it. Definitely. Definitely. It's really important to, like, be vulnerable as such and to say these things out loud. And it's scary. Like, the internet is such a funny place because there's a lot of people that think that their opinion is absolute. So when you say something which is quite out there, I think there's a lot of people that are ready to bash you down and say you're wrong. Like, I find that in some spaces people are very, this is how it is, so you have to be really careful. Like, so I would say that, for instance, like, I say some fairly controversial stuff on Instagram, but I am so careful about how I word things. I never say anything like is absolute for a mother, because every person, so the other day I put something about the fact that I work, but the fact that I'm prioritizing my children's time at the moment, and I got a bit of like flack about it, being like, you know, we have to work. And I totally get that. It's really difficult to have a conversation and talk about your experience but have people understand that it's not the absolute experience, you know. Like, there's a lot of things that trigger me. I think that what's interesting is that one of my friends, Esther, who's the most incredible person for like having these conversations with. She always says to me, what you've done there is a really good thing, because if it's triggered them, it's sent them to a place where they feel uncomfortable, and that's where growth happens. I find that really interesting, because the times, like those big emotions that make you feel uncomfortable or angry or whatever, they're when you're bashing through your own healing and like your own hang-ups, and that's where you have your moments of growth.
Yeah, totally. And if you're in that moment of like, oh, Ashley, I feel like she's making me feel really bad because I don't feel like I'm living up to her idea of motherhood, then maybe that's a space to be like, okay, well, what is my idea of motherhood and how do I do that?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. And I think that especially someone like Instagram, if you're not making people, if you're not upsetting people, you're also not pleasing people.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate that we do live in such a reductive and divisive space online.
Yeah.
But if you want to be heard, ultimately that's what you have to do. And I find myself putting out stories and I'm like, oh, should I put this out? And I'm like, oh, if I'm having that feeling, then yeah, I definitely should, because it's going to speak to some people. To be honest, it's going to speak to everyone, and it's going to, some people are not going to like it and some people are, but great, I'm creating a conversation. And I know that you have done some divisive things in the park. It's not as dodgy as it sounds, guys. It's the Notorious Alice in the park.
I was with a friend and I was walking in the park and I left my buggy on the pavement. And to be honest, because I'm a woman and I know I'm not allowed to take up space, I was really aware of it. But at that exact moment, my 18-month-old was walking towards the gate where there is a main road. Oh. So I wasn't particularly concerned at that moment about moving my buggy. I was like running to her. And my friend saw it as well and came with me. So both our buggies were on the path. And this guy came past and was just like, you're not at home, ladies.
Oh, my God.
You're not at home. Move your buggies out of the way. And I think it was, if he'd said to me, don't leave your buggies on the path or whatever, I probably would have just been like, I mean, it would have still annoyed me, because it's a typical man who either doesn't have kids or hasn't had enough to do with bringing up kids, to be honest with you. Because
yeah,
if he can't see what's happening in that moment, that is a problem in society. That, like, you know, my husband has done masses and masses of childcare. There is never a time in his life, like, when he would look at something like that and think, what's she doing leaving her buggy? He would see what was happening. So I kind of said, what are you talking about? But he kind of like continued and said, go home, or again, like something about going home, something about we should be at home with our children. Just absolute crap.
Yeah.
It really sat with me all morning, because although I know better than that, it triggers you, because it's another time when I feel like someone's got some tape over my mouth. And I'm sure you know exactly what I mean.
Yeah.
It just feels like that every time it happens. Every time, like, you know, the amount of times I used to work in a very patriarchal male industry, and the amount of comments that have been made on my looks and my figure in meetings and things like that. Like, it's crazy when I think about it now, you know, like, I'm not property.
Yeah, I think it's so hard, isn't it? Because in that situation, there's so much going on. There's like children, but there's also another person and their expectations of you and their entitlement to say, oh, get out of my space. And then also that feeling of I've done something wrong. And then also the feeling of, but I haven't done anything wrong. Yeah. There's so much going on and it's so hard to speak out in that space. Yeah. What would you say if you could go back?
If I could go back, I would take the energy that I went away with angry and go and do something positive. But I don't think I would bother going back and saying anything to him, because all of that use of energy, he doesn't understand. Like, I actually kind of feel sorry for him, because if he literally lives in a world where he thinks women are his possession, he will be angry all the time, because women have moved on from that.
Yeah.
Being equals to him, taking up space, going to work, I don't know, being loud on their phones. I don't know what annoys men of that kind, but he's going to get annoyed more and more, because we're not going away.
Yeah, exactly. Don't ever forget it, guys. We are here and we are loud and we are taking up space. Alice, it's been so lovely to speak to you. I always end the podcast with who are your influential women that inspire you every day in your life?
goodness, who are my influential women? So online, I love Marie Forleo at the moment. She's really inspiring. She's a coach. And I really like Mel Robbins for similar stuff, actually. So they both are there kind of helping. Mel Robbins is more for everyone, I think. But Marie Forleo is just the best for women who want to grow and follow their dreams. I remember starting to listen to her stuff. I think it was in like 2017. And it was just so mind-blowing to me that there was a woman out there who was telling me I'm not crazy to follow my dreams, because that's the only narrative that I'd ever kind of known in my life.
Mm.
As I was talking about my friend Esther before, definitely her, because since I met her, I think it was like 2 or 3 years ago, whenever I need help with childcare or if I've got a life problem, she's there, you know, and it reminds you how important it is that women have the right women holding their hands, because I wouldn't be sat here, Mother Hustler wouldn't get to where it was, and I wouldn't have taken the leap to be a coach and all the rest of these things had it not been for the incredible women in my life who say, yes, you can do it, like, keep going, don't be afraid. I think that one of the main things that has helped my growth is stopping having these conversations with my parents, and having conversations like this with other inspiring women who are in the same arena as me.
Yeah.
One thing that I would say to a lot of women that are at a stage where they're done with their jobs, they want to move on, they want to be CEOs, go and find other CEOs, find other women that are leading and just talk to them about it. Don't talk to anyone who's going to be like, oh, I could never do that.
Yeah.
I don't bother having conversations with people that are like that, because it triggers me back. It really does, because, you know, this stuff that we all have, like the good girl mentality, it's so deeply ingrained. I don't think it'll ever go away. You know, my life coach who inspired me to be a life coach said to me to think of that voice in your head as a guy called Frank. And she said to me that whenever you hear it, see it and say, Frank's a dick. Because you can't get rid of the thought process. It's too deeply ingrained. We've all got it since we were kids, you know, like, get a good job, be a good girl. Like, that will come round. The key is to see it as a process, which is not you. That's all conditioning, basically.
Absolutely. Those conversations with other people and the conversations with yourself in your head are so powerful.
Yeah, exactly.
Alice, it has been such a joy. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.
Where can we find you online?
So I'm at Mother Hustler at the moment. I will have a website one day. but at the moment I'm on Instagram. So if you just search Mother Hustler UK, you'll find me.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Clear Voice podcast. Join me next week when I speak to Fiona Grayson, who is the founder of She Can, She Did, and she launched the first ever rewards program for female founders to give them the same kind of benefits that we would see from working in a corporate job, like a pension, free eye test, and some extra rewards as well. We talk about how she got over her fear of public speaking, how she uses her love of writing to articulate herself better when speaking, and how she launched her business, speaking to female founders about the realities of starting a business, all those nitty-gritty details. Don't forget to follow Clear Voice on Instagram at Clear Voice Official and send any questions you have to hello@clearvoiceofficial.com. And I'll see you next week.